for the beginning, if you just want to say your full name.
Right, I'm Betty Cook, Women Against Pit Closures.
So how did you hear about Greenham Common?
Originally, there was a notice on the union notice board at work about a day at Greenham, I think it was Sunday, and the union was organising transport. So I went down with one of our shop stewards, and that was the first time that I experienced brutality against women by somebody in uniform. When it was a horrible day and we were walking around the base, and you know, there were slopes and it was muddy and it was slippery, and one woman grabbed hold of the fence just so that she didn't fall, and I just beat her with a baton in her hand.
Who was that?
Before Women Against Pit Closures, Pit Camp, I went down with one of our shop stewards from work.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And so that was the first time, and then they'd got the helicopters going, and they were coming as low as they could, and it was whipping all the...
But it's 84 there?
No, well before. It was whipping all the dead leaves and stuff, you know, into your faces. Yeah. It was horrible, and we all had a candle vigil. And we were so cold, we were holding our hands and feet over these candles to keep warm. So that's the first time I knew anything about Greenham, and the first time that I'd been down.
And what union was it?
Ustor. Oh,
okay. Yeah. And who did you go down with?
Just one of the shop stewards from work, yeah.
And how did you travel there?
We went down by a coach that the union had organised, yes.
Have you got in touch with Aggie? Because Aggie used to go with us and all, you know.
No, or perhaps at the end we can come back to think what else.
Because Aggie used to go with us.
Yeah, that.
It's Aggie and me who went first down with me. I went first down with Aggie.
Well, maybe if Sarah finishes Betty's story and then comes to Ewan, and then you could bring what coming with Aggie into that, and then Sarah can work out who
you
else
can
to interview.
Go and see Aggie.
Yeah.
And how long were you there?
Just for the day.
Just for the day.
Just for the day.
And what gate you went to?
I can't remember, because we sort of were walking round the fence, and it was a huge, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Huge fence to walk round. Yeah.
And what made you go? What made you decide to go?
Well, I'd heard about Greenham women, and far from being a feminist, and I was more or less nosy. I just wanted to see what it was like, and you read things in the press, didn't you, which you knew you couldn't believe anyway. So it was sort of, well, go and find out then.
Yeah.
You know, put your boots on and go and find out. And your long johns underneath your trousers as well. It was a bitterly cold day.
That's kind of the thing that's coming through from a lot of people, is what they remember is how cold and wet it was.
Yeah.
And did you meet people there as well? Did you kind of talk to the women that were there?
Not much, no. Yeah. Not much. We just sort of sympathised with women, you know, particularly the women who they'd beat her hands with, you know, because she was older on the fence. I think we were just both just taking in everything, you know, seeing what everything was doing and everything was happening, what have you,
And how did you feel kind of going down to the camp, knowing that it was a women-only camp? How were you in approval of it, but what was your thought process, knowing that it was a women-only camp?
No, I thought it was brilliant that women were making a stand.
Yeah.
And in charge of their own lives, if you like. I wasn't at that time, but it was brilliant to see all these women, and how they stuck it out, I don't know. I think there were just so much admiration for these women that were sort of living down there.
Was the Ustor shop steward a woman that you went down with?
Yeah, I was the branch secretary at the time, and she was one of the shop stewards.
And was that the only time that you went, just that one time?
Just that one time.
And how then do you feel it influenced your own politics after that?
Not an awful lot, apart from, the violence that people in uniform were allowed to get away with towards women. admiration for the women and knowing that I couldn't do it, but still being able to read in the press and thinking, poof, you know, it's all made up, this isn't like women at Greenham Common and that kind of thing. Yeah.
And then did you take that idea any further when you did Women Pick
Clothes? Oh yes. I'd got a real education by then on that.
And how much later was that from when you first went to Greenham?
It's quite a long time.
I suppose 84 was not that long after it, but the Pick Camp was
92.
Because it must have been early
93.
So going to Greenham must have been the early 80s.
It was well before the miners' strike.
Yeah, maybe 2 or 3 years before. Because I think, did Greenham start in...
Early 80s,
wasn't it? Because
I went in 82. Because it were 84 when miners' strike started.
Yeah.
It were first in Barnsley, weren't it? They came on strike, Cotton Wood.
Yeah, that's
in,
right.
In January.
Yeah.
So it must have been before 84.
So maybe it was, you it was then were on the strike problem. A year or two later. Then everything went.
And what had been your experience of activism, if any, before Greenham, before you went?
Just active within a trade union. Basically an experience of a strike at work, you know, trying to run a strike at work. But I was sort of involved in local politics, if you like, but not into it in depth. You know, it annoyed me that we were an isolated community, we couldn't get anything, and sort of I started to agitate about getting some kind of services. And the kids had to go through Airwood to go to school because we were a split community. Winter was at the top, Willacore at the bottom with a wood in between. And if you can imagine children trying to go to school in winter through the woods.
What village was it, Betty?
It was on Woolley Edge. We were called the Windhill Estate. Right. And then Woolley Corrie was at the bottom with the Corrie houses down at the bottom. And I saw a lost train of thought. Sorry. I did find that before I even went to Greenham, I had to sort of get involved very heavily, not in politics, but I lived in this horrible two-up, two-down little cottage. If you didn't have rats, you had mice. That was the consolation that the old ones used to say. Well, if you've got mice, you don't have rats, and that sort of thing. And they built a new washery at the colliery. And the agreement was, because they would use so much water, they only ran it at night time, not during the day. But being as they were, they ran it more or less 24 hours. So I had a baby then, and it was a case of putting two kids in a pram, walking down to the next village to my mum-in-law's to fill bottles with water, to make bottles and such. And I got so incensed with it all that we were in Wakefield area then, and I sort of bounced into Wakefield Social Services with two kids and said, you better look after these two because I can't. And they said, you can't do that. I said, watch me. So they said, well, let's come and talk about it. And the result was we got somebody from the corner coming up shouting, oh, that stupid woman who can't make bottles for her kids, you know. So you were sort of fighting, but you weren't always winning. And then it was about 18 months later, one of the women came down from the bottom row and said, there's no water. I said, I know there isn't. She said, well, what are you going to do about it? I said, nothing. It's your turn now. You know, you've got a baby. You'll get on with it. And then the kids woke up one morning. They were hopping round the bedroom and said, Mummy, the floor's really hot. And so, so I got out of the bed. The house was on fire. Because what had happened, every time, you know, the old set pots that you had in the corner, mine was adjoined to the next door neighbour's. And so when she let her set foot on a wash day, I used to have to take my kids out because the house filled with smoke. But this morning it was on fire, and I had to get my husband out of bed, and we didn't have a phone box then, so we had a farm at the top of the hill. He ran and ran for the fire brigade, and they came. And what had happened was, apparently when they built these houses, the beams went across the chimney, and this continual thing and the wind, that's what had got the fire going. So they'd sawed up floorboards, and the fireman in charge said, oh, I'll go down the pit, I need to see them down there. And they sent this man up, and he said, I'll tell you what, get a hammer. I said, I ain't got one. Well, get your husband to get. I said, he won't do anything. I said, you know, it's your responsibility to make this floor good again. I've got two kids, get on with it, you know. So I sort of got involved in this fight, but not politically. But learnt me a lot, you know, of a lot of times screeching and shouting.
And in terms of the legacy of Greenham, we talked about kind of how it influenced women against exposures, things like that. How do you feel it has been remembered among people, if at all?
Well, we used to have fun down at Greenham, didn't we? You know, the women were brilliant. We were always made so welcome. And we used to have a minibus, and used to make a big pan of stew or take bacon and tea cakes and things. We used to make tea cakes, bacon sandwiches and stew. And one said to them one day, look, there's loads of stew left. Have you got a pan or something that we can put in? And they brought out this pan that must have been used for cooking loads of stuff,
but
never washed. And they just put on that. Well, at that time, we were horrified to see this. And then one of the women had been arrested, so we went to demonstrate outside the police station. And while they were there, the Greenham women were in the bottle bank getting out bottles and things that they could use. You know, we're horrified to see this happening.
Which year are we?
That was during the strike.
During the strike, yeah. So 84.
Because this woman, she come, and we used to start with bacon and egg, and she used to come and say, make me a bacon and egg sandwich, but don't tell anyone. And then another had come.
And it fascinated me. Yeah. I used to be cooking.
Yeah. So they came up and
they used to be
down.
Coming out of the wood, weren't they?
No, they didn't come up to us.
Later.
From 1984 when they started, when they closed the... 1993, 1994 to 1993, we used to go regular. Because Aggie used... Can you remember when she said to that Bobby, you were a clever swine, isn't it? She says, do you want to buy a badge? What's that mine? She says, I don't. She says, well, your bastard's put them there. You know what I mean? She used to really want... You know, Aggie didn't tell that, and can you remember? She owned no bar. You ought to get Aggie because she's put what on it. And that lass who she were talking to through fence, they were from there. Yeah, she saw a lad in grounds and she says, hey, come here, I know all the mother and the father and all, come on here. Yeah, can you remember that day?
Orange Gate. Yeah. I think we were sort of quite vocal compared to the Greenham women.
Yeah.
And sort of, you know, we were here. Yeah. And one day we actually did take over the Orange Gate. We got rid of the police and took over the Orange Gate. And sometimes I think... They must have felt that, oh, there's a bloody invasion again. Because we weren't gentle and quiet.
No, we were noisy and dancing around and that, you know. And, but they never ever said out wrong to us. And they were always, when we went, they were always glad to see us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope locals come. They've come.
You might find some other women who remember them.
Because
they're interviewing 100 people.
After that, what did the caller all come and we're going to go down and picnic with me? She was from
Rebecca.
Yeah, Rebecca.
The well-known Rebecca.
Her mother, she came from Switzerland. She was lovely.
Anne thinks she was lovely. Her and I had a violent disagreement. But,
I liked her. Yeah. She was all right with me.
Yeah, but she came up to our pit camp, right, and we couldn't have run the camp 100%. Often we needed the men to do a little job or something. Mm. And she came in and she said, "You don't have men in this pit camp."
It's our pit camp.
You know, and we need these men. Do you know what I mean? And so she went then and told the men there'd no business going. So I just said, right, the shit's hit the fan now, it's you that's going, not them. Mm,
exactly.
You know? I know what I just said to them. Mm, yeah. See, it's our bloody pit camp. Mm. So if you don't like it, get off of work. Mm. That's what I just said. You know, but I'm not like her. Mm. I don't feel we talk. Yeah, she's right nice and there, but
But I wasn't nice that day. I was very angry.
Well, I didn't
angry,
think I wasn't to be in there.
You were, because you said I'd better take her home to my house then, so you took her back with you to your house.
Get her out of your way.
I don't think that.
You did.
I
can remember it then.
Because I quite liked her.
But apart from that...
she were going to go down pit with us. And, she were from...
there were two other women that used to come up regularly from Greenham, and they used to do the weekend for us at the pit camp. One of them, I think, was called Eileen, and they were very supportive. And it used to give us a weekend off as well.
Yeah, that's true.
And they used to do the pit camp for us. Yeah.
And how many times did you go down to Greenham?
We went a lot.
We've got a police escort one day, don't we? Mm-hmm.
So 20?
Oh, yes. Well, you see, there was that space in our year, weren't there? Mm. Yeah. So we didn't forget them.
Yeah.
Mm. And then in that time, they were organising, other people were organising for people to go down. And I always went on them buses and that when they made a thing right round.
Oh, embrace the base.
Yeah, I was there that day. Yeah. We went on bus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If they organised out, and she used to go.
Mm.
Yeah. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I tell you, we me and Arthur had been speaking somewhere and we were coming back. And we went there and we were all sat round in a corner with Arthur being there. And they says, they looked at me, they says, "Bloody Alex Hanwick, twin second pearls." Because I was dressed up to neck. And I think they're going to say, like, you said, something to Arthur. And she looked at me wondering, and she said, "Bloody Alex Hanwick, twin second pearls." I'll never forget that.
Brilliant.
Yeah, he'd been speaking somewhere down there, and we called in because I saw Greenham, and I said, "Come on, let's go see him."
At
Orange Gate.
That might have been during the strike then, wasn't it?
Probably.
Would that have been during the strike?
No.
Weren't it over Christmas time?
No, it weren't. When it was before second strike, it weren't before big strike, but it was before 1993. In that period from...
That 7 years,
That 7 year period, it was then, And I mean, we didn't go everywhere, but if they were out going off, we went. Or if we used to say, "Shall we go to Greenham?" You know, and we hired a minibus, and I drove minibus. And we went quite a lot.
And Betty, why do you think it's important that Greenham is remembered by subsequent generations?
Because I think the women made a stand, and historically it was something out of the ordinary. And the main thing was they were defending their country, yeah. The children and their communities. They weren't in it to bring down a government or anything like that. It's, you know, what you're doing is unjust. We don't agree with what you're doing. And we're making our protest, and it's a peaceful protest.
Yeah.
You know, that impressed me so much, the way they were so quiet and peaceful, and there were, you know. but and I think it's important that their history is chronicled.
Yeah.
We try so hard to make sure that ours is.
Mm.
And, you know, we speak to lots of young people now that are at universities and colleges doing dissertations. Mm. And it's really good because we know that through them our history is being chronicled. And, and I think in a lot of ways maybe women of 84, 85 have maybe been overshadowed.
Yeah.
Greenham,
yeah.
And we need to bring it to the front and walk along together with it, chronically our histories together, like we're doing today.
Why do you think it's been overshadowed?
Probably because at the time maybe we didn't understand 100%. Maybe at the period it was women should be in the kitchen and at home, not out there doing what they're doing. I mean, the first picket that I went on, I don't even tell me, eggs, it's a strike, that I was going on a picket line. I don't tell him, you know. And I think a lot of these women were so brave because a lot of them left the families at home while they went.
Yeah.
And we were of that generation that you're there to cook, clean, look after your kids, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's so important that their history is chronicled.
Yeah. And did you see any children when you were at the camp as well?
I've never seen a child. I've been a lot. Mm. I've never seen a young child. And I'll tell you what I found and all. They weren't roughies like us. They were middle-class women.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I mean, when I went Nolan away, they didn't have tanglers. You can't do that. I mean, who can't do that? I'll show you. They were nearly all middle class women.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when I used to go to, when me and Arthur went to meetings in London and that, and I saw women there that were Greenham coming in and all, you know.
I think as well feminism was a big issue
because
we didn't understand feminism. Well, I'm not saying I individually didn't understand. I think there were a lot of women as well, and some journalists would say, well, are you feminist? Well, if you tell me what a feminist is, I can tell you whether I am or not. I still don't think I'm a feminist in the 100% of the word. I've got a lot of feminist ideas and things, but no, I still don't think I'm a feminist 100%.
I'm not a feminist because if a man opens a door for me, and I'll say thank you. You know what I mean? Yeah, if he stands there and opens, I've seen these women. And when they've opened door, for him, they said, I can manage. You know what I mean? Real bro. I thought.
I'd still call myself a feminist, but I would still say thank you to somebody else. People have got such different ideas about what it means.
That's exactly.
You know what I mean? I mean, I can stick my corner.
I reckon you're both feminists.
Yeah, I do as well.
You know,
if you believe in the power of women and the place of
women. If we're arguing with people, like we were other way when we started singing. I mean, I can stick up, you know, for myself. Yeah. To a fella, I'm not scared on him. But if he opens a door for me or anything, I'll say thank you.
I go along with the idea that we've fought for centuries for equality. That's fine. Mm. But keep the men at the side of you. We don't want women to rise above the men like we've been.
You want proper equality in the world, don't you, in a way?
Yes,
Yeah, but you see, we supported men, didn't we? I mean, and a lot of them men thought that their wives couldn't come. But we went. And some of them were grateful, and because if they saw you, and they used to say, go on, Anne, they're coming, hurry up. You know what I mean? Oh, Betty, you know what I mean? And it was, I mean, police were swans with
But I think there again, they'd used Northern Ireland as a battleground, and as for dealing with women, they used Greenham then.
Yeah, and then when we went into court, well, Michael Mansfield, they stopped him, strip searching women.
They stopped?
Using Northern Ireland tactics, because all MPs stopped it. They tell them, because when we first were arrested, we got strip searched.
Oh, okay.
No, really, if it's terrible. Yeah. And proper strip search. Yeah. And then when I come out and was telling everybody what they'd done to me, they were really uproar, weren't they? And I think it was in front North East. And then they stopped it.
Right.
Until you were charged. See, we weren't even charged.
Yeah.
Do you think, if you hadn't been to... If a lot of us hadn't been to Greenham, and if you hadn't been to Greenham, the idea of the pit camps would probably not have come up as an idea.
I think somebody who maybe remained nameless came up with the idea.
Mm. Yeah. Because I said, we've been in Greenham Common and they're outside there. I says, we'll have a pit camp here.
Yeah. So it was inspired by Greenham,
We got it from. They're outside.
Mm.
We'll stop outside.
And was it because you thought it was successful?
But things were going down. There were no telling about it at all.
Oh, you mean the campaign in 92?
The campaign were dying.
Yeah.
And we did try to go down that pit, didn't we?
Sarah was meaning, did you think, because Greenham was successful, it would be a good thing to do a similar kind of thing?
Yeah, I just said, we'll go down, we'll try that then.
Yeah.
Mm. And Dot and Billy came... they were good ways, weren't they, from Lancashire?
Leslie and her husband used to come.
Yeah. A lot of people come from all over. Mm. And you see, then it were going up to Easter and they were doing this, and it were dead.
Mm.
You know, we only just got locals. And so we thought, we've got to do something now to bring it back onto the front.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's a
yeah.
To dance round, didn't we? Mm. Like this, all around, you know.
Yeah.
With women in the middle.
Yeah.
And that, and sing and that. And police were livid.
One day we'd been quite naughty, and the police were obviously ready to make a move, and the Greenham women came out of the woods and danced round us and danced us back to the minibus. That was solidarity.
You said you mentioned before you were at Orange Gate.
Yeah.
Was it a choice to go to Orange Gate, or was
it just happened.
We just started going round and we saw it, so we went in.
Well, we'll have this one. We'll make it Women Against Pit Closures Day.
Yeah, we had some lovely times there.
Yeah. That one as well. So you keep this one and I'll keep that one.
Yeah, and we used to sing, didn't we? And then we had some badges done. And Aggie used to. As I said, she used to go round to the cops and try and flog them badges.
Mm.
And that inspector, he come to me, he says, oh dear, he says, how long are you stopping? I says, oh, about 5 days.
For Greenham, you mean?
Yeah. Greenham, Bobby. He says, 5 days? I says, oh.
And what was it like camping there?
We didn't stop.
Oh, you didn't stop?
No.
It was a day trip.
No. And then
just find that. Okay. Thanks.
we've really had some good, I know it's awful to say, each other about that woman who were telling us that her husband had gone away.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Oh, why, we've got a right story.
Yeah, you might have remembered her. She, funny enough, she was called Anne, and she lived at Greenham, and her husband worked abroad. And she got herself on the base, and she'd been on the base 3 or 4 days before they even found her. And so she said, I knew they'd take me to court and fine me, but I wasn't going to pay the fine because everything in the house was his. So the bailiffs could come and it wouldn't affect me whatsoever. She said, they didn't send the bloody bailiffs, they sent me to prison. She said, I've never known anything.
We went to see outside prison.
I've never known anything like it, she said. It was filthy and I'm going like this. Have you seen the muck here? You know? And she said, they said to me, can we remind you, you're not a prison visitor, you're a prisoner. And she said, I got into Miss Allen, I thought, oh, we'll change this around because I don't like the way it is. She said, well, everything were bolted to the bloody floor. She said, I couldn't move anything. And then on the night, they dropped the flap down and said, would you like something to help you to sleep? And she said, yeah, a cup of tea would be nice, please. And we're not talking drinks, we're talking drugs.
Oh, God. Frightening.
But yeah, she was lovely though. We often laugh about Anne and let the bailiffs come because it's all his stuff anyway.
And we didn't tell them when we were coming, we just turned up and it went round like Chinese whispers.
They used to take us on the bunny run, didn't they?
Bunny
run. What was the bunny run?
The bunny run.
They used to go and hide and it was all the trees around it, and it were like a little den, but it was in open air.
And I think a lot of them might have used it for a toilet at times.
Well, I didn't say that.
And you mentioned about Embrace the Base, that you were there as well, when everybody joined hands around the silo.
Well, I went, because everybody around here went. Yeah, there were a lot of buses went from here.
I don't know, Anne.
Did you all go? We all got older.
I didn't go with the bands a lot. I went with us still a lot.
I didn't know what unions had gone with them, but we the bands a lot went across, and we all got older. And it were a long... People, there were thousands of them.
Thousands and thousands.
And they went all the way around.
So, Anne, do you want to say your full name for the recorder and then I'll get on to your questions as well? Is that alright?
We've told him, Anne Scargill, Women Against Speech Closures.
Wonderful. So, how did you hear about Greenham?
Well, I don't know how I heard about Greenham Common, but obviously I was married to Arthur and he was very, very political. And he often spoke about Greenham Common women and things like that. So obviously I knew that there were some Greenham Common women. But that's how I heard about Greenham Common women.
And when was the first time that you went down?
I went down... quite a few times, but it wasn't in the early time, it was later when they were coming and doing things and getting, you could see that they were going into prison for doing things, and obviously we decided that we'd go and have a look what it were about.
And that first time that you went, what were your impressions of it?
Well, I felt really sorry for them, actually. And I could see, because I agreed with them to get them Yanks out of England. We didn't want them. And I really, really agreed with them. You know, and I thought, they're doing awful to them, police. And I think that they're doing a good job for us. So that was my first thing. Of Greenham Common.
And did you see the violence against the women on the camp?
Yeah, because they were pushing them about. Little did I know that years later, we were going to get the same treatment.
And Did you? You didn't ever stay over, did you? You just went for the day.
Yeah, I just went for a day. Yeah, there were quite a few from, you know, they did get buses up quite regularly.
And what did you think of the conditions when you went into the camps as well?
Well, I just thought, here we are in a lovely bed. And I don't like camping anyway, because I don't like creepers. So I felt, I couldn't stop here. I couldn't sleep here. Yeah. I'd be up all night, you know. And then I felt sorry for him.
Yeah.
But then, when I spoke to him, I found that they were really middle-class women, very intelligent women, you know. And I thought, they must be brave to do this. And I really, really thought, they are. Mm. Yeah, they are. Doing all this to get these damn yanks out. Because we used to sing, go home, Yankee, Yankee, Yankee soldiers. The women are here to stay, yeah, you. And we used to sing that.
Yeah.
Go, Yankee, Yankee soldiers. The women are here to stay. Yeah.
And did you make friends, both of you, Betty and Anne? Did you make friends with the women on the camp? It was the women in particular.
Yeah, that came up, I went, what did they call it?
There was one called Eileen who used to come to pit camp. Then everybody knew Rebecca.
Yeah,
sure. You don't remember Rebecca.
Yeah, yeah, I bet if you look for people that you'll find that some.
Is it Rebecca Johnson?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she knows me and her right well. Have you been to her?
No, we haven't, but she's done lots of interviews in general about Greenham.
Well, tell her that we've been asking about me and Betty.
Yeah.
Anne's been asking about
her. I really liked her. In fact, she used to come to our house. Well, I liked her.
What did you think of the non-violent direct action that was taking place as well?
I just looked there and I thought, if he'd have done that, I'd have had to retaliate. When he was shoving them about. And
yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, they're rough, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They were rough. Yeah. And we found out they were rougher wheels.
Mm. Yeah, I was so impressed by these women, sort of how quiet they were. And you know, they didn't react like we did. Difficult to understand living like that and seeing all that violence, how they coped.
They didn't hit them back.
Yeah.
They didn't. They were just letting them, pushing them about. No. Mm. You know what I mean? And I was surprised. Mm.
We haven't changed.
My name is Caroline Poland.
And how did you hear about Greenham?
Heard about Greenham. I can't quite remember exactly what happened when. I was a part of a group called Sheffield Won't, which was Sheffield opposed to the nuclear threat. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was my son was born in December 82, and I think he was just 9 months old when I went down on the. I think it was called Embrace the Base. Yeah. It was with bolt cutters.
Yeah.
So we all had big bolt cutters. So I was part of. So I went with the group Women Oppose, the Sheffield Won't group, and we had our big bolt cutters. And so I was busy cutting the fence down and being on friends' shoulders and cutting the fence down, and then I got arrested. So I got pulled into the base. First by the police and then by the army, and then put some handcuffs on, those zip handcuffs.
Yeah.
And you were the idea is if you were arrested that you weren't meant to say anything, wasn't it? You had to keep quiet. So anyway, they took me in the base, and they didn't know how to undo them. So they had to use my bolt cutters to undo them. And I was just like trying to keep quiet then. I was just like hilarious.
Yeah.
So, but my son was only, Tom was only 10 months old, I suppose, so I was only going down for the day, which took longer because of being arrested. But obviously, friends were waiting outside. But then we, along with a lot of other women, got charged quite a serious charge. So it was conspiracy to commit criminal damage, which is, conspiracy is always worse than the actual doing of it, which I can never quite understand. Yeah. It was about the conspiring. So I think that was, you know, that has a ridiculous potential sentence if you get done for that. So one of the other women in it, who was also a solicitor, so at the time she just like put a different jacket on or something. And, so we were kind of defending ourselves, so she was defending me. So I had to go down a few more times because of appearing in court.
Yeah.
So I think I did. I think I did stay over once. I can't remember it terribly well, actually. All that. A lot of that time gets to be a blur, especially when you've got young children.
Yeah. Yeah. And what court was it that you were at?
Oh, God, it must have been in Newbury. But
okay.
Yeah, it was in Newbury. So there was that, and then there was quite a... where's it gone? I found it. I was looking for ages for this, actually. I found the criminal charge sheet, but also it was in The Guardian. It said... one takes one's hat off to the technological genius behind the cruise missile. The handcuff, of course, is quite a different matter. One of the Greenland protesters arrested over the weekend was placed by the US Army personnel in a pair of American design cuffs and driven inside the base to await the arrival of the British boys in blue. When the time came for her to be released, neither the US Army or the British police force could work out how to undo the cuffs. And she was only released due to the dexterous use of the women's own bolt cutter. Anyway, it goes on a bit there. So I just thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And then I went a few other times. And I think after 84, during 84, 85, there was, like Betty and I were saying, there were a lot of Greenland women supporting the strike. And when that, after that, we did this series of Women Make Links postcards, which were four from to do with Greenland, and then four to do with Women Against Pit Closures. So that's like a early thing,
yeah,
of women being involved opposing... supporting their mum in the pit in Wales, and that's us picketing at Treaton, and that's an American women miners. So we were trying. Sorry.
What did you call that woman who come to our pit camp? She were 8 tall, with grey hair, and she were at Members Hill, I know.
Wasn't we
went to
not May.
Well, she come to our pit camp quite soon.
From Greenham.
Yeah. She were at Members Hill.
Not Leslie.
In that caravan.
Oh, I can't remember the name.
Because they went to Members Hill then, you know.
They did, yeah.
Because our cousin, our Thomas, I went with Sandra Hutchinson for 3 years to Members Hill because they had a day, and one at Pumpkin. Because they taught our Thomas how to do them drums.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Gosh, that woman's name evades me.
Oh, so hard
she's
to remember.
She was awarded some kind of award in America and they refused to give it her.
And wasn't she Welsh? And she was one of the original.
Very tall, yeah. She was, yeah. She was a really nice lad. She was always there at Members Hill. And I used to go with some. I can remember our Thomas going. It'd be about 5, 6 and 7. We went 3 year running, me and son, and we took him. You know, because we took him out at school, they let him come out at school because they said...
Part of his education.
Yeah,
that's what they did, you know. They did a very good teacher,
didn't they?
Yeah.
Lovely left-wing guy.
I mean, for me... It was when I saw that this project was there, I think somebody sent me an email about it. I thought it just felt really important that, you know, obviously without 1984, without the 1 year strike and being involved in Women Against Pit Closures, but also without Greenland, that we wouldn't have, the pit camps wouldn't have happened without those two things.
No, I don't think they would.
So I really wanted that to be part of this Greenham story and to, as you said, like record the history of women against pit closures. And so I think I first met you. I think me and Fliss came to the when you set up the first Barnsley meeting. We came to that at the beginning, and then Sheffield was set up, and then we got involved with Sheffield.
Yeah. And did you make friends at Greenham?
I don't think.
Well, it's somebody Johns.
Helen Johns.
Now I know that name.
I can. She come quite a bit, didn't she? I knew it was.
But it would have been. Must have been very difficult for you having a small one.
I mean, I did some crazy things with Tom, I think. I didn't take him down.
No.
Down there, so it was it's kind of limited what I could do. And then my daughter was born in 87, so she that period of time. They both really enjoyed the pit camp. They've got really good memories of it. It's quite an important part. You know, Dave and his history at Thurcroft Pit and everything. And I mean, Tom's, they know that they were wheeled around, and you know, like Tom was in a pushchair when he was 84, 85, so he went on lots of demonstrations when he was little. But they both remember the pit camp really well.
Somebody came, I'm sure they came to our pit camp, and she'd been pregnant during the 84-85 strike and taking my little lump on the picture. She was so proud of that she's taking a little lump on the picture.
It's really important.
And Caroline, what did it mean to you that Greenham was a women-only space?
I agree with what Anne was saying earlier, in the sense that the pit camp we had was a women's pit camp, but we were really involved, like the men and the miners were really a part of it. But I think just women, brought up, I'll be 70 this year, and brought up in the era we were brought up in, and what expectations were for women was always less, what women would do, what kind of jobs you would do. And, you know, I went back to do A-levels and education, and it took me, you know, a long time, I think, to see what feminism about, and to feel that I was a feminist. And you know, actually to really value the company of women. I mean, I can remember that first time, I just in the early 70s, and just going out for a meal, and it was just with women friends, and I got home and I thought, I've had a really good time. So just that whole thing, and you know, like expectations of, you know, of us at that age, of what we would do, and you know, when I worked in an office and things. And so kind of just believing in women and what women could do was like really important to me. So I think that this was something that women were doing it, and were doing it in, you know, maybe in a different way than if you had lots of men involved. I think that is true.
We you know, important. Didn't just have a pit camp. We had a social camp. Everybody come. There were a man who used to come with his family from about 6 o'clock, well, 8, go up, take them home, and then come back at 8:15 with his girlfriend.
It all happened to be his wife's sister.
Oh, that's awful.
No.
I don't think that's what we set out to support, though.
No, but I'm saying, was not. And can you remember that woman who left a baby here, that young lass, and Sandra had to take her into care?
I think you found it out in pit camp, like we found at Grimthorpe, though. You couldn't get the support of the local women, because they were still in that time warp. that women stayed at home, cooked, cleaned, looked after kids.
Yeah.
And I know one night I can remember that the Grimthorpe women said they'd come and sleep at the pit camp for the night, which were lovely. But they'd took a bottle or two and they were enjoying it and having a good time. Till somebody banged on the door and screamed, "You're not here to enjoy yourself." So they didn't come back after that. And, but it was a shame because we'd got us women here that had done 84, 85 in the pit camp. These women were probably little kids, 84, 85. And so they were, if you like, in a different time warp to us. And I think you found the same at Houghton, didn't you?
I mean, there were some, you know, obviously there were women like, you know, Dart and Tex from Fenske and Jan from Goldthorpe, she worked at the Dern Valley Advice Centre, and I think they become politically active in 84, 85, so they were a really important part of it. But yeah, you're right, and also I suppose Hamp, it's not really a central part of the village, is it? So the men that worked there came from all over as well. But you know that thing about, like, if you don't organise it so there is some fun as well, you can't stay the course, can you?
No, you've got to have that music.
And I think that's I do think that's probably a different, that women do think more like that, you know.
And did you see that at Greenham as well, kind of with all the artistic stuff that was going on? But also even the Embrace the Base was colourful and fun and things like that.
Yeah, and imaginative, really, and just doing things in a bit of a different way.
Women coming from all over, weren't there, to support us, and men. And even women who were on television, what they call, they used to come up and come up, you know, women have come. And then obviously then they all come from village. You know, it was.
Can you remember the day when Charlie Williams came? Charlie came and he sort of stood at the top where pit camp was on it, and he just screamed, it's Charlie's Angels, and came running down to us. We were Charlie's Angels,
because it were we were management, there were buggers with us, and we were asked to finish calling also with us. I did all sorts of nasty things. Anyway, they were all going and occupying managers' offices and that. So anyway, police come and they said, "Look, when you go in the office, you lock it. And when you come out, you lock it. Because we're not coming to fetch them lasses out of here anymore. We'll leave them in." So anyway, they did. Anyway, we had this caravan and kids had been pulling strips off it, and Mr. Logan, one of the managers, I used to say to him, hit me, go on, hit me, because he was shouting.
Because he was so angry.
Hit me. So anyway, it was Monday morning, and I was stripping, putting things on it. Caravan, it was special glue, and he was coming to pick it up. I hadn't got to put it dustbin in there. Anyway, he went in his office, and I went and stuffed a ton of glue in the keyhole next punch door, and I was getting out.
We had a great security guard actually at Houghton, and he always used to pin the door open at night time for the toilet.
He was
great actually. I mean, I think that, you know, the NUM branch at Houghton was really supportive, which was good. But you know, like, they mostly didn't live in that village, you know, because it was a pit where people came from lots of different places, really. But it was, I mean, that thing you were mentioning earlier, really, you know, about. For Greenham and for our pit camp, really, but women coming from all sorts of different places, and you know, how much you trust people and where they've come from and what they're standing for, and also whose pit camp it is. That's the other thing, you know. So I think all those
like tensions and potential lack of trust is something you have to work through, don't you?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, because in a way, if you're there 24 hours, 7 days a week, you either work through it or you don't, you know, you either build up that sort of trust in people, which I think did happen.
You did a lot of nights, didn't you?
Mm. Yeah, me and the kids used to stay at night. Yeah,
because I was looking after my mum. I was going to uni, you know, so early mornings were okay, but the rest of the day seemed to be taken up. So I used to do a lot of nights, yeah. Because Maureen Stubbins and Derek used to come.
Nights.
They used to come nights, and they always somebody always made sure there were a few bottles at the top.
We used to get the milk when you used to deliver, come down and deliver. But then also, like when the men were signing on for days, day shifts, which would be about 3 o'clock in the morning, was that, you know, they'd fill up the brazier, and then, you know, they saw a light. And say, you're right in there, yeah. So it was like about, you know, like you're saying it. It was about doing that together, but it was still a women's pit camp, and that was important.
Yeah.
And would you say, Caroline, for you, it came from the inspiration came from Greenham, like being at Greenham and seeing how it worked?
Well, like I was saying, I think we all think that if Greenham hadn't have happened, if the women, Women Against Pit Closures, hadn't been set up and did that whole year and beyond. If that hadn't happened and Greenham hadn't happened, the pit camps would not have happened.
No, certainly wouldn't.
No, they wouldn't. So, you know, it had to be both, really, without the kind of amazing...
I think, although we used to go down to Greenham a lot during the strike, didn't we? I think 92, 93 brought us even closer to the Greenham. Because they used to come to our pit camp and stay two or three nights. And during that time then you'd sit round the brazier chatting what have you, and you felt that you were in your own environment, different to going to Greenham, screaming and shouting and then being so gentle and quiet.
And Carol, in terms of non-violent direct action, how did you feel that worked for you when you were at Greenham?
I just think like non-violent direct action, imaginative action is brilliant.
And is it something you took forward in your activism as well? The ideas that you got there, or the ideas that you saw there?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think a lot of my politics was shaped in the 1970s, really, and that you're allowed to have a boo for somebody coming from the south. But, you know, I was brought up on the edge of London, really. And I lived in Brixton in the 1970s, involved very much in community-based action, working in the community. And so, you know, just seeing a lot of the violence of the National Front, actually, and the police, the Metropolitan Police. Mm. I had my eyes massively opened. In my 20s, massively old.
Yeah.
I learned more than I could possibly describe, really. Mm. I can remember being in Lewisham at the National Front March and the police on horseback, and then there was bricks being thrown from all directions. I thought, I'm sure there's something better to do. Those ideas and what could we do at Orgreave? Was there something more, how could we take over the road? The things that actually we didn't manage to do then. But I just think just being more imaginative and doing things that are direct action, I think probably are ways that women look for a bit more, generally speaking.
And Caroline, in terms of when you went to the court as well, did you have a reaction from the local residents there?
I honestly can't remember. I know there was a lot of animosity, wasn't there, from locally against screening women.
Were there women in the court with you as well?
Well, the rest of the group came down to support me.
And then it was like negotiated, you know, with the, I think they then reduced the charge eventually to something which was just criminal damage.
Yeah.
But I can't remember.
Yeah. Were you scared when it was happening?
What, at the court or being arrested?
Yeah, the whole thing.
I think I felt very, I knew that nobody would forget me. I'm probably great, you know, but I needed to get home at some point. Because it got really boring, really, because you were stuck in there for hours and hours and hours. And, you know, eventually people started singing, I can't sing to save my life, so they probably warned him. But, you know, and then you have to keep going back to court. So it gets, but yeah, I felt like that thing about being in a group of people, women that you know really well, and you know there's no way they're going to forget you. So, no, it wasn't really.
Yeah, I think that's the way we felt when we used to do things that we shouldn't do.
Mm.
Like, we were women together. And
we'll
do it, we'll get
on with it.
The men can't do it, so we'll do it.
We're
not scared on them.
Yeah.
And in terms of the collective nature of decisions at Greenham, did you see any of that happening, or did you take any of the ideas from that to future campaigns?
I don't know. I think in a way, you know, a lot of the things that I felt became really important to me and that I learned was very much in the 1970s, actually, you know, including, you know, just a lot of funny stories. I mean, and understanding police brutality and police lies. I mean, I could tell you some stories, but they're not really relevant to me. But they had a big influence on me, really. And, you know, being part of a collective housing project and the squatting project, so lots of things, homelessness and stuff that was going on then, that I learnt a lot. So in a way, Greenham was, I mean, I suppose, you know, that, I mean, these postcards were, you know, about trying to kind of build the links, saying like what women were doing in Greenham and what Women Against Pit Closures were doing. You know, there was lots of and we wanted to celebrate those links. So
it's a bit like that programme, Never the Twain Shall Meet. You were all so quiet and gentle.
Yeah.
And
why do you think
No, just you know, just thinking about, you know, well, obviously you were telling a story about you know, that woman coming up from Greenham and taking over. I mean, obviously there's like lots of different people who have different kinds of understanding, or, you know, different things are important to them. You know, so that woman obviously had no level of understanding, or, you know, that it wasn't her pit camp and things. But just, you know, and people, you know, actually coming together about things. Now, whether people still hold to their politics of social justice and things when they're 10 years older or something, that's when you start to know, don't you, whether people are still, you know, hold those views in their 20s and 30s or 40s, and, you know, when they're in their 70s and 80s. You know, we are still saying the same things. That's important to me.
I'm worse now than I was before. I don't care what they do to me.
Yeah.
After they strip search me, I felt that they can't do nothing.
Well, you build, you've got a level of confidence, can't you, that you can do these things.
Right. And I want to
Yeah.
I did some horrible
things. So I still believe the things I believed in the 70s and 80s, like, just me. But anyway.
And
I can't remember what your question was.
Consensus of decision making and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's, for me, it's really important. It's bloody hard work sometimes. But I do think it's important. And in the end, there's, you know, that bringing more people in and doing things together is a better way of doing things. Mm. You know, there's more people around at the end fighting. Yeah.
I felt at Greenham, sort of there would be a group at each gate, each gate, but everybody was there for the same thing. There wasn't any division. It was just lovely that, you know, every gay had a group of women that belonged on that cage.
And what do you think the reason is that something, say, like the suffrage movement has been remembered and canonised in history, whereas Greenham and your Women Against Pit Closures kind of hasn't in the same way?
I mean, I'm sure class is fairly relevant. And it's obviously a lot of working class history gets lost, doesn't it? And so I think that's really important. I mean, I suppose that there was that sort of split between the suffragists and the suffragettes, wasn't there? And so there were clearly like some very active working class women in the movement for women's emancipation and the vote. And I suppose some of those stories have been given more publicity than they were, but so I think that's probably the big, would you say, is from the I mean, although the year-long miners' strike, in a way, has become a, I mean, an incredibly important part of history, isn't it? And actually, the Women Against Pit Closures for that year, I think probably there has been a lot written about. I think the fact that actually a lot of us came back together again 7 years later has had very little written about it, which is why we want to keep telling that story, that we're not there to go away. I mean, I say we in a general thing, because I, you know, my personal, you know, in the, I mean, Dave and I have been together for nearly 40 years, and his background is clearly a mining background. Goes back to the Welsh mining. but mine isn't, you know, and I'm not pretending. I would never pretend otherwise.
During the strike, three women photographers came up from London, and they went into different areas, and one was called Risa Page, who's dead now, but she came into South Yorkshire, and she took a photograph down at Woolley Quarry on Low Row of some kids stood there. And if you didn't know, you'd think that was in the 80s. So it's a sad photo, but it's brilliant to think that people thought that was all gone now, and this is what our community is doing now. This is what we're fighting against.
Yeah.